and welcome to this week's message from Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message. This morning I want to talk about God's freedom. So here we go. Comfort, obligation, and fear. Comfort, obligation, and fear. I wonder what you think or what you feel when you hear these words. Because consciously or not, for a lot of people, this is a powerful driving force in their lives. But God, he wants us to be free. He wants us to experience his freedom, and knowing him is freedom. I've entitled this message today, and it's kind of going along a bit of the theme of Sisterhood Conference. I've entitled it, God is Freedom, Therefore I am Free, if you're taking note. What does it mean to be free? What does it take to be free? We've actually just been singing in the songs, Who the Son Sets Free is Free Indeed, and we're saying there's power in the name of Jesus. There is freedom in his name. You know, the opposite of freedom is bondage. But God doesn't want us to be in bondage. He wants us to live in his abundance. He wants us to flourish and not flounder. He wants us to be free and not bound. And we achieve that by knowing him, to live in his power and in his love. Comfort, obligation, and fear. God has so much more for us. He has got something far, far better for us. I'm going to pray and we get into it. Father God, I thank you this morning for every single person here that has come into your house. Lord God, I thank you that you are ever present. God, I thank you that you're here right now. God, I thank you that your spirit is here, Lord, working in and through us. And God, I pray that today our hearts would be open to receive from you, that we would hear from you. Father, this would not just be a pep talk. This would not just be a cute little sermon. But God, I pray that this would be something that takes hold of us. God, that our spirit would be captured by it, Lord God, that we would run with it, that we'd make a change. Lord God, that you'd help us grow, that you empower us today to take more steps into everything that you have for us this morning. So, Father, I pray that my words would be your words this morning. And, Father, I pray that we'd hear clearly for what you want to say to us. Amen. Amen. What does it take to access God's freedom? I've got 3 points. Now, when you think about freedom, you can talk about sin and guilt and all that kind of stuff, but I'm taking a little bit of a different slant to it. So here we go. I've got 3 points. How can we choose and access God's freedom? Number one is calling over comfort. You know, as we were saying, we had a sisterhood conference, and you might have been here and you've seen the on the screen, the promo leading up to it. And we asked that whole question about who are you? That was sort of our lead up to it. So this morning, I want to pose that question to you. Who are you? You know, if I walked up to you right now and said, who are you? What would you say? And it's a really important question to ask, because everything that we think, everything that we decide and how we act flows directly out of who we are. Yep. You want to know who you are? I can tell you who you are. You're made by God on purpose and for a purpose. Jeremiah 1:5. He has called you by name and you are his. Isaiah 43:1. He knew you before you were born and he knows all the days of your life. Psalm 139. You are chosen, you are royal, you are holy, you're God's special possession, 2 Peter 2:9. And perhaps you are made for such a time as this, Esther 4:14. That, my friends, is who you are. That is who you are. God knows you. He made you, he called you, he equipped you, he set you apart, he anointed you. And that is who you are. You know, so many people walk through life and they're kind of wondering, what am I here for? What am I meant to be doing here? And you know, if you're a follower of Jesus, that question is fairly easily answered. That your calling is that you are a child of God. What you're meant to be doing, you're here to help others become children of God. That is your calling. If you're a follower of Jesus, there is no other calling in your life. This is it. That means you're not a product of fate. You're not just an accident. What you do here is not insignificant. You know, you're not just here to just get by or to make it safely to the other side of eternity. And what that means as well is that You're not just an accountant. You're not just a chaplain. You're not just a teacher. You're not just an electrician. You're not just a mom. You're not just a businesswoman. Whatever it is that you've chosen in life is significant because it's your opportunity to live out the God-given call on your life. You're a child of God here to help others become children of God. You know, I believe if you can get that in your spirit this morning, I think this is your first step of freedom because it means that your life has purpose, that your life has meaning, that your day in, the day in, the day out, the normal, the ordinary, the mundane has purpose because God has called you, he has handpicked you, he's called you his child, and he has set you apart so that you can help others become children of God. You know, when it comes to calling in life and what you're meant to be doing, so many people, they look for comfort. They look for ease. They look for the easy way. They look for that security, that bit of peace and quiet. And the way that is reflected in their life is by the choices that they're making. They're making choices based on comfort. And let me tell you that comfort-based decisions are always made to satisfy an immediate craving, a momentary feeling, or a reaction to a current situation. How do you spot a comfort-based decision? It is usually a reaction to what is around you rather than what God has placed on the inside of you. The Apostle Paul writes this, if you've got your Bibles, I think it's coming up on the screen as well. It's in 1 Corinthians 6, 12. He says, I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. So the quotation marks here, he is writing a letter to the Corinthians, and the quotation marks is he's quoting the Corinthian church. So they're saying, I have the right to do anything, and those are his responses. And then 1 Corinthians 10, 23 to 24, he says it again, and you bear in mind that this is the same letter. So Paul felt it was necessary twice to address this in the Corinthian church in the same letter. And he says here, I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. This saying, I have the right to do anything, that was something that was common, a common way of thinking in the culture back then. It's a way of to assert their supreme autonomy. And you can really see how the Corinthians viewed themselves here. They were saying, I have the right to do anything. I'm not accountable to anything or to anyone. The Oxford Dictionary says, when it defines freedom, the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants. Does that not sound familiar? My body, my choice. I've got the right to do anything. You know, it's easy to be swept up in a culture that says, I have the right to. But Paul is saying here, no, if you want to experience the fullness of God's freedom, if you want to live for everything that God has for you, you know that your life is far more than just about you and your own rights. If you understand that you're free, you're making choices, not just on your personal gain, not just on your own comfort, but you take into consideration the people that are around you. I wrote this morning. Insecure people hold everything in close proximity, but free people are ready to give and to release. You know, I read this when I was preparing for this. This is what I read in a commentary. The Corinthians were taking Christian liberty to mean not an unbounded opportunity to show the scope of God's love, but an incredible means of gratifying their own desires. Not an opportunity to show the scope of God's love, but there to look to fulfill their own desires. You know, freedom is knowing who you are in God and then pointing other people to him. And I just kind of imagine, you know, what life would look like if we, if every decision was an unbounded opportunity to show the scope of God's love. I love that. Not just, oh, hey, that, yeah, God loves you. God loves you. He loves everyone. God loves you. But no. Let me show you with my decisions, with my acting, with my words, the scope of God's love, the vastness, the depth, the height, the richness, the selflessness, the sacrificial love of our God, his grace, his mercy, his kindness, his patience to us. Imagine if every decision that we make would be an unbounded opportunity to show the scope of God's love. Can I challenge you with something this morning? God wants you to be free. He wants you to live a life of abundance and his freedom. And one of the ways we can live in his abundance is not by focusing on our own comfort, but to be greatly aware of how every decision has the potential to communicate something about the scope of God's love. Are your decisions based on calling or comfort? Are your decisions evolving around what's best for you, for your spouse, for your children, for your family? Or are they an unbounded opportunity to show the scope of God's love? Yes, God wants you to live in his blessing. He wants you to enjoy everything he's given to you. He does. But if you constantly look for comfort, for ease, how it benefits you and your family and your little world, you know, if this is what drives you and motivates you when you make decisions, I just want to challenge you this morning to not run off so quickly making your own choices, but to consider prayer, to consider what God is saying to you, to consider wise counsel, to consider the voice of the people around you in this church who want to spur you on this morning. You know, and to filter our decisions with this truth, you are a child of God here to help others become children of God. Calling over comfort. Number two, the opportunity over obligation. If we want to be free, we see opportunity over obligation. Here is a liberating thought for you. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. You choose. You choose your life. Now, I know that sometimes, you know, circumstances happen and, you know, we can't choose our family and things like that. But there's one thing that we can always choose, and that is, how are we going to respond? Who are we going to be in the situation? You know, everyone at some point in our life faces some sort of pressure and stress and fear and whatever else. You know, there is no such thing as a stress-free life. You're welcome. There's no such thing as a stress-free life. But somehow we got it in our head that every pressure and every stress that we experience is a bad thing. You know, now some stresses, I have to point this out, some stresses come from making decisions for the wrong reasons or for a lack of wise counsel, but I think we've covered that in our first point. But I'm talking about here about a stress that comes just with some of the choices that we made, even the good choices that we made. You know, I think so many people, they sort of walk through life and they go, they're chasing after this opportunity or that job title, and they're looking for, they have this dream and they're looking for this role that they want. You know, and when they're finally there, suddenly the pressure hits, suddenly stress is coming. And we start thinking, hang on a minute, this is not what I signed up for. This is not what I wanted. So what we do, we start looking for something else. And we start thinking there must be something better out there. And if we're not careful, this is how we live our life, constantly running from the pressure and our stress. But what we don't realize is that whatever it is that we've taken into a situation is what we take into the next situation. You know, an airplane can't fly without pressure. And a muscle can't grow without being exposed to stress. And neither can we grow without being exposed to pressure and to stress. If you constantly run for stress or pressure, the truth is you won't grow. In 2 Corinthians 4, 17 to 18, it says this, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is eternal." What's the solution to this? We fix our eyes on what is temporary, not what is temporary, but what is eternal. So your work, your stress with your work colleagues, temporary. Your child acting up, temporary. The exam you're dreading, temporary. The mortgage that you have to face, temporary. The sickness you're facing, temporary. The career choices that you're making, temporary. Your money problems, temporary. The thing that you're going through and can't shake off at the moment, temporary. You know, God wants you to fix your eyes, not on the right now, but he wants you to fix your eyes on what he is calling you to. The unseen, the eternal, you know, believing that he is doing a work in and through you. If you are a believer, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, he is doing a work in you. In Genesis 15:5, it says, "He, God, took him, Abraham, outside, and he said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said, So shall your offspring be. You know, Abraham at this point, he was in a difficult circumstances. God had just called him to leave his home land, to leave all his comfort behind and go into a land. And that land was hard. It was hard, hard circumstances. And the thing about Abraham was that he didn't have any descendants. He didn't have any offspring. He didn't have any children. And the mark of a successful life back then was, as it is to some extent now, I believe, is to he didn't have anything to pass on to the next generation. So here is Abraham in a situation in a foreign land and without hope of passing anything on, without hope of leaving a legacy. And here God speaks to him. In the middle of that situation, God speaks to him and God says, "Look up, Abraham, look up, see what I'm doing." Now, between the promise and the actual fulfilling of the promise, there was a long time. But if you read the story, you know that Abraham stays faithful to God. He doesn't fix his eyes on the temporary, but he fixes his eyes on the eternal, the promise that he has received. You know, I believe not only are the stresses and the pressures that we face temporary, but there are also our opportunity to look to God, to see what he's doing. You know, the things that you face in life, they can either become your obligation, the thing that you go, "I have to walk through this," or they can become an opportunity to look for God, to look up. And you know, I believe there are people here this morning, and I just want to speak that into your heart. Maybe you're going through something at the moment, and you know, I believe the word from God to you this morning is, look up. Look up, child. See what I'm doing. You know, it's so easy and it's tempting to base our decisions and even immediate decisions on temporary things and unforeseen pressure or unwanted stress. Oh, I feel stressed, so I buy that chocolate bar. I feel overwhelmed, so I need to stop serving. I got too much on, so I need to skip out on that meeting. I'm upset, so I need to leave that relationship or that team or that workplace or that church. I'm having a meltdown, so I need to change everything. Anyone ever done that, or just me? You know, I believe God wants to speak to people here this morning. He wants to say to you, look up, child. You don't have to live in obligation. You don't have to live in the land of have to. You don't have to live, you know, you don't have to just get by, put up with things, shoulders down, head down, you know, eyes closed, just getting by. No, God has more for you than that. He's not finished with you yet. You are better than that. You know, God uses the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. You know, he has got good things in store for you. And he wants you to look up and see what he is doing in it all, in the stress, in the pressure, in the mundane, in the boring, and in the crazy stuff that we go through in life sometimes. You know, when you start looking up and start looking for God, you stop living in obligation and you start living in opportunity of what God might be doing. You know, what if our stresses and the pressures that we face in life, the things that we might maybe feel obliged to, could become our launch pad to reaching our God-given potential? What if your obligation becomes your opportunity? You know, we can choose in life to allow the difficulties and the pressures to become our limitations, to become our restrictions and our moments to shrink back and to hold back and to go back and to draw back. Or we can decide that maybe, just maybe, this is an opportunity to grow my capacity. This is an opportunity, a launch pad to get me to the next level, a launch pad to see what God is going to do, a launch pad to fulfilling my God-given potential. You know, I want to give you an example. It's really practical. It seems, I don't know, it seems really mundane, but here it goes. You know, how do you approach a busy week or a busy month? You know, I used to get worried about it, and I look at my calendar and go, oh, no, here we go. But you know what? I get excited about it now. I get excited because I go, actually, there might be an opportunity here. But I used to get really worried. I used to get really stressed. I'd be like, Oh my word, will I be able to cope with the stress? Will I get enough sleep? Will I be able to handle everything that flies my way that week? You know, but, you know, and I just kept thinking in my head, going through it all, I'd just go, oh, I just want to make it through. But you know what? God has not called us to just make it through. He has called us to embrace whatever is in front of us. And you know, God sometimes, very often, uses those very moments, those weaknesses, the busyness, the thing that doesn't make sense. He uses that to work out. He needs to work in us. And any stretch and any pressure and any stress is an opportunity to see what's in you. You know, Dave is going to Brazil later this year in at the start of September. And my eldest one will be, in that week, she'll be starting school. I'll have a two-year-old and a newborn, and I'm going to have to learn to do all of that and do school drop-offs. And you know, on paper, I look at it and go, oh no, this could be potentially stressful. But you know what? I've just switched my mind and I went, actually, no. Any stresses, any pressures that come my way, maybe this is just an opportunity to grow. And I'm actually excited about this week because I know I'm going to look back on this week and I will trace back my step and see how God has increased my capacity that week. So I get excited. I'm like, challenge, bring it on. Pressure, bring it on. Stress, bring it on. Will we not see that God might use this to grow something in us, to bring us closer to Him? So friends, does it really matter that this 1 week or month or even year you got rubbish sleep? I'm there, okay? I know what it feels like. Does it really matter for a week your work colleague was cross with you because you stood up to something? Does it really matter when your Wi-Fi isn't working for a week? Does it really matter that the bus was late again? Does it really matter that the delivery man was rushed and rude and then gave you the wrong parcel? Does it really matter you had 3 colds this winter? Does it really matter that the person in front of you cut in line? You know, if we're not careful, all of our conversations are orbiting around those things that have gone wrong, all these little details that are so temporary. You know, if you want to live a small life, then keep talking. But this is all this talk is telling you, that your vision might just not be big enough. And maybe it's your time to step up and actually see your obligations and opportunities. You know, if these are the highlights of our day, if these are the things that frequently make it to our Facebook status, if these are the things that we talk around the dinner table, you know, I just really believe we need to learn to look up, to actually look up and look to God. You know, just laugh a little more. Just shake it off. You know, have a sense of humor about not getting it your way. It'll be fine. Chill out. Don't take yourself so seriously. These things are really not worth your energy. You know, because I've realized in my life, when I got back bogged down in those details, all this is telling me that I started to look down and I didn't stop looking up to God and see what He's doing. What does it take to get you from have to I get to? You know, there's blessing to be found in the middle of your pressure. There's blessing to be found in the middle of your stress. There is blessing to be found when you decide to press in, to look for opportunity, to start seeing what God is doing. Look up. Look for God in the ordinary. Look for God in what's in front of you. Look for God as the pressure hits. Watch and see as your mind is set free, as you choose to see your obligations as opportunity. Watch as God transforms lives around you as you open up your heart to the possibility that God might just want to use this to bring you further to your God-given potential. Opportunity over obligation. Number 3, faith over fear. Can we throw that verse up again? 1 Corinthians 6:12. It says, I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You know, in the Greek, the commentators have sort of rendered this a play on words. They said it should go something along the lines of, all things are in my power. So when Paul says, I will not be mastered by anything, he's saying, all things are in my power, but I will not come under the power of anything. You know, the Corinthians here in the scripture think that freedom means there are no restrictions. And Paul is actually saying, no, freedom is putting in the right restrictions. Why? So that we would not be mastered by anything. Right. You know, fear is one of those things that sometimes it's not very obvious. It's not very blatant. It doesn't always stare us in the face. It's something that sometimes sort of subtly creeps in. And I believe that, you know, in our culture, there is a little bit of a fear of restriction. You know, fear can come in the form of peer pressure, of afraid of missing out. Oh, but everyone else is buying a house, when everyone else is having children, and everyone else is pursuing a career role. You know, and I think often we're afraid of putting in the right restrictions in our life because we're afraid to miss out. We have to hold back, that we're somehow left behind. You know, then when we compare ourselves and others seem to be moving forward, or things might just seem plain impossible, or we're driven too much by what we want right now. You know, Pastor Tim Keller says, freedom is not the absence of restrictions, but the presence of the right restrictions. What restrictions are you putting in your life? You know what? There's two types of wrong restrictions that I believe we can put in. One is the belief that I need this in order to do that. I need this in order to function. I need this in order to show up. Are you actually free? No, if I don't get that lion on a Saturday, or if I don't get that holiday or that partner, those results. You know, in Australia, we had this problem when we were in church that if it's raining, people wouldn't come to church. You know, whatever it is, you know, people think, you know, that they're being left behind. But you know what? If we think we need this in order to do that, we're actually mastered by something. And Paul says here, I will not come under the power of anything. I will not let anything drive me or motivate me other than the power of God. And you know, the other thing that the Corinthians say is, I can do whatever I want. And in this instance, they say, I can use my body however I want. And Paul is actually saying here, no, by doing that, you open up yourself up to sin. You open up yourself to doing something that takes you away from the promises of God. And that is actually bondage. That is not freedom. Right. Jesus says, the one who sins is a slave to sin. You know, what restrictions have you placed in your life that actually help you be free in your future? You know, Dave and I, there's a couple of restrictions that we put in our lives. And one of them is that we bought a house and we bought it so we can afford it on salary. But this is how it gives us freedom right now. I can be a stay-home mom. I can look after our children. You know, because we realize that, you know, children is not just something that you do in life, but that it's actually a God-given and entrusted responsibility. You know, I said before, you know, what are you called to do? I'm a child of God here to become, help others to become children of God. To me, this is how I see my children. Like, they're my disciples. Their first taste from God, they get from me. And that is my responsibility. Now, being a stay-at-home mom has restrictions as well. Like, sometimes, like, I want to go out and do stuff and I can't. Or I want to, you know, be involved with something and I can't and I have to hold back. But this is just for a season, and that season will end at some point. It's temporary. It's temporary restrictions, and I know this will mean freedom, because when my kids are in school, I actually have the freedom to choose what I want to do, because we live off one salary. It's brilliant. But a temporary restriction gave an opportunity for freedom. You know, we talked about relationships a few weeks ago. You know, what restrictions do you put in your relationships? The Bible says iron sharpens iron. You know, not every single voice in your life is of benefit to you. You know, I have decided that, you know, any voice that I hear in my life that publicly slanders the church, I just go, there's no room for that in my life. Restriction. I don't want to hear it. I know the church isn't perfect. You don't have to go around telling everyone if you're a Christian. So for me, that's a restriction. You know, if you are a single person here, you know, it's so important that we have restrictions, that we actually use that time to help God mold and shape us into the person he's called us to be, and not to give in any pressure of a relationship, you know, but that to trust God, that he supplies all of our needs. You know, what restrictions have you placed in your life that launch you in your God-given freedom? Can I have the band up? We're about to close. There's a different fear, though, other than restriction. And, you know, I believe that some people are not just afraid of restrictions, but of what could happen. People are afraid of what if. They have what if kind of fears. What if I'm not good enough? If I fail, if it doesn't work out, if I fail that exam, if I can't get this promotion, if the business is not flourishing, if I don't get well, if I make that mistake, or if my family and me are being left behind, what if God doesn't come through? You know, I once heard Craig Rochelle say, the pathway to your greatest potential is often straight through your greatest fear. I love that. So what do you fear? Do you fear sickness? You know, I know so many people who are afraid of sickness. They're constantly like Googling what condition they have or could have on the internet. You know, they analyze every twitch and every niggle that they have. They worry if, I know people who worry if they go here or there, their children might get sick. So they're afraid of sickness. Do you fear responsibility or accountability? You know, someone correcting you or someone maybe finding out that you don't have it all together or that you aren't perfect. Do you fear failure, not measuring up? You know, is someone around you maybe more gifted that prevents you from stepping up and taking that chance? Do you fear of missing out? Always chasing opportunity, always looking for something better out there. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Psalm 23:4 says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." My friends, your fear might just be your biggest launch pad to your God-given potential. When God called Gideon, he was hiding in a field, but God calls him mighty man of valor. When God called Saul and it was time to take his crown, he was hiding among the stuff. He was afraid to come forward, but God calls him the man he has chosen. And when God called Moses to lead the people of Israel, he was making excuses. He was afraid to speak, and God says, "I will do it for you." When Noah built an ark and all the people around him mocked him, labeled him crazy, God called him a righteous man. When God called Peter, a man who doubted, spoke when he shouldn't, denied Jesus, God called him the rock on which I will build my church. When God called Paul, he was set out to destroy God's people. God calls him an apostle of Jesus, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to all the world. So what excuse do we have? What inadequacy do you have? What fear do you have? What lack do you have? What could God not do? He is so much bigger than he fear. His power is stronger. He's all-sufficient God. You know, in John 15:10, I will close with this. It says, "If you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands. For I continually live nourished and empowered by his love." You know, Jesus, the Son of God, says, "I live nourished and empowered by the love of God, by his Father's love." You cannot choose calling over comfort, opportunity over obligation, and faith over fear if you don't know the one who gives you the power. If you don't live nourished and empowered by the one who loves you without fail or hesitation. If Jesus needs it, I'm sure we do it.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.